I don't think we're ever going to get to utopia again by going forward, but only roundabout or sideways. Because we're in a rational dilemma, an either-or situation as perceived by the binary computer mentality. And neither the either nor the or is a place where people can live. Will you choose freedom without happiness? Or happiness without freedom? The only answer one can make, I think, is no.
And I'm going to begin with the mysterious case of the disappearing women. Jennifer Light, possibly one of the finest historians of computation, reminds us that way back in the early 1940s, we coined the word computer. And the first computers were women. In the absence of software as we understand it now, and without human language programming, to work with a mainframe was also to work on the mainframe, right? In the older instances like ENIAC, for example, this meant a constant configuration of vacuum tube devices to perform complex mathematical equations. The mainframe was a piece of hardware, and the tasks that it performed were transparent in the assembly of circuits and the flow of electricity through the system. The computers, these women, with first-generation degrees in maths and physics, followed the whirring of the devices and the clunking of the machinery to see the mainframe perform its task. The mainframe, in other words, was a tool. And much like the hammer needs a carpenter, the mainframe needed computers to make sense of its calculations. Just like the hammer has no optical interface, the mainframe had no inside, which needed to be decoded. The inside of the mainframe were human bodies. These women, who were computers, were the first interfaces that served as points of access to the code of computation. They were physical workers who sustained the different components of the system and relayed the information and data not only between the nodes of that digital network, but also to the mainframe architects, largely men, who would then direct the architecture of the mainframe. And yet, the traditional histories of digitization and computation have forgotten these women and postulated that the computer is the domain of masculine triumph over technology and science. As Light shows in her uncovering of the archive, the women served as the interface. They were called the computer. They were seen through, looked at, but never quite for themselves. And hence, when the mainframe started shrinking, the computer became personal, and it was the women who first got replaced by automatic algorithms as well as the visual interfaces that perform both the affective, right, like the emotional labor of the sad Mac and the blue screen of death and cute little emojis floating all around the place, who were trying to replace the emotional and the affective labor of the women in the mainframe. And they got replaced by these automatic algorithms and visual interfaces.
But if you go there, you can see, I start to talk about why things are missing, and it's really the same reasons. And you start to see trends, and you start to see that there are certain groups that always have data missing around them. And then also I talk about how not everything missing needs to be filled. Sometimes it's actually way more advantageous not to have things filled. But that's not what I wanna think about right now. I wanna think about this idea of things not being missing, but things being hidden. And this is what's been on my mind a lot lately, because the idea of something being hidden implies reason and process. And it's really useful because it connects it. Because missing is like, oh, there's no agency there. But hidden is like, there's some reason why. Things, like, there's agency, there's reasons for that. Or there's something about that that I think needs unpacking. Okay, so this is the part where I told you I haven't really thought things out. This is just me thinking out loud with you. So we'll see how this goes. Hidden things. I'm thinking about hidden things. And immediately, one of the things that first comes to mind is this. Which is a point that Alexander Galloway makes in some of his work about how systems conceal their sources. So we see this a lot with media formats. They have a tendency to conceal their own making. So like in traditional film, like the apparatus is deliberately removed from the image. We can see this with the internet and the web. They're both great examples. You know, think of how underlying HTML markup language for a website is actually abstracted behind the browser. You can see, like I said, the internet as well, but it expands past media as well. Galloway mentions about how the process of production is removed from the commodity. So you can start to see like this idea of things being hidden. It's kind of interesting, but there's this other level to the abstraction that I think about, and that comes from Neil Postman. I don't know if y'all have seen, Neil Postman has these great like 5 thoughts on technology. I can't remember what it's actually called. It's like 5, told you my head is not here. 5 things about technology. And this is one of his, this is like I think the 3rd axiom. And it's that embedded in every technology, there is a powerful idea. Sometimes, oh no, you can't read the font. Anyway, sometimes 2 or 3 powerful ideas. These ideas are often hidden from view because they are of a somewhat abstract nature, but this should not be taken to mean that they do not have practical consequences. Okay, so Postman is saying here how every technology has a powerful but abstract sort of idea hidden within it, and the use of this technology quietly promotes this idea. So for instance, in a culture without writing, human memory matters a lot, and so we have poets and bards. And just a quick aside, have to just bring this up. I don't know if y'all know Russell Means. He was a member of the Lakota tribe, and he's got this like crazy piece in Mother Jones, which is so dope, where at the beginning, he starts it and he's like, the only possible opening for the statement is that I detest writing. The process itself epitomizes the European concept of legitimate thinking. What is written has an importance that is denied the spoken. So what you read here is not what I've written, it's what I've said and someone else has written down.